Hey guys, I want to welcome you to another edition of Halftime Chat. And I'm really excited to welcome back one of my previous guests, Miss Gina Thompson. Things you do. So it's going to be great talking to Gina, see how things have been and what she is up to now. So, yeah, looking forward to speaking to her. Hello.
Hey, good evening.
Evening. How have you been?
I'm good. I can't complain. Thank you so much for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. It seems as if a lot has changed over the past year and a half since we last spoke.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, moving one day at a time, but yeah, trying to make some changes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It feels so good to be back. I mean, you definitely, you're so supportive of not only just me, but many artists. So, we thank you so very much for your support.
No, appreciate. Actually, I think when I look back at the interview, because as I said, I'm a full-time therapist and that's my 9 to 5. But it was yourself and Lily and Mila from 702 who I've probably had the sort of mo I've had felt the most impact talking, hearing your stories and being able to see you guys being very open and vulnerable about the experience and so those are things that really relate to me. So yes, I still remember almost every minute of our conversation. So I appreciate you being able to come back and stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. My pleasure. I was thrilled when they told me that, hey, you got an interview with Halftime Chat. And I'm like, yay. I know I think we had to reschedule a couple of times because it was just, the scheduling. But I was like, yeah, we're gonna make this happen.
Well,
Thank you.
what I was seeing a world of difference is because when we first had, you at home and, camera was the had the light and then we moved around and it's almost as if, okay, now I'm back more, like, okay, I'm now, it's almost like, and at that time it was more like you're telling your story, but you weren't really back into the industry. And I've seen over the last couple of months that you look as if you're actually performing more and actually taking the comeback a lot more, taking the comeback a little bit more serious now. Is that the case?
So you have seen, right? And you know what, if I can go back a little bit, like when you and I had the first interview, I think you were like one of the first ones, right after I did decide to adventure back in to this world. So it's like it's amazing. So yeah, here we are again. So yeah, I had started doing a couple of shows. It kind of started like last October. And I did November again, another show in November. And then, or was it December? I can't even remember. Nevertheless, it was a total of about three shows or so, and had a couple offers for more, but we decided to kind of like put a little bit of pause on it because I started focusing more on, trying to just regroup in other areas. Was doing some interviews here and there and even pulled back on some of them. And when I say regroup, more so meaning, at that point I was in the negotiation phases with, where I wanted to sign or where I wanted to be. So just kind of like laid low a little bit on that. And then eventually, God led to me, where he wanted me to be. And so now that I pretty much have partnered with Infanity, which is absolutely love being with them, we are working my project now. So there's like a couple of singles to come, and Infanity, for those who don't know, it's like a Web3. It is a Web3. It's a digital, if you will, type of platform where artists can. And when I say artists, I don't just mean recording artists, people that have artistry, where they can go and have more flexibility and do more things that they would like to do with their artistry, if that makes sense. It's almost like my comparison is like cryptocurrency, stock. It's where you can have a collectible of your favorite artists. And you get to follow them and do a number of things with them. So it's like when new things come out, your artists are the first to know, can have first access to certain things. So it's kind of like although it's almost like they're invested in you, it's like they also still get different perks that people wouldn't get. So my music is definitely going to be coming soon. We are still working out a few things with that, but it's definitely coming soon. Initially, I had told people the end of March, but I will say with this whole Web3, they're ironing out a lot of things right now because it's something kind of new, you know, for those people that do know, it's something kind of new. So it's not like your average record deal. So long story short, we are working on, you know, trying to promote my product. I am on Infanity's website. I do have what we call an NFT, non-fungible token, again, which is like a cryptocurrency. So please go out there and support it. It is on Infanity's website. If you're unsure of Infanity website, go ahead and send me a DM on my IG, which is The Real Gina Thompson, and I can give you more information about that. So we're excited. It's a new experience. I'm still learning and still growing with it, but it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's getting ready to really take over the industry by storm, for real.
Yeah. I mean, for people like myself who have no understanding around Bitcoins and crypto and MFTs and stuff like that, I guess I'm still very much of the traditional, you go buy a CD and stuff, and even doing the digital downloads are hard for me. What made you decide to go that particular route instead of just saying, okay, I'll record some music and just release them on use Orchard Music just to monitor it while it goes out on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple?
And well, just to add that eventually it will be on those platforms as well. Okay. But the thing that I do like about the NFT, like I said, in learning, what I have gathered is that it is a way that an artist can actually make more money, or, you know, and not work as hard. So for example, you know, in your standard record deals, or a lot of the record deals, I mean, from the time that I, you know, used to record, there's so many people that gets money. They get their, you know, the record company gets recoupables, and I get it. But it's like out of 100%, if you look at a whole pie, the artist may get maybe 5% of that pie. And the other 95% is always tallied up and going somewhere. Now, unless that artist has actually written, or when I say written, meaning wrote songs, publishing is definitely a good point or a good avenue where you can, you know, pretty much get, all, you know, fairly all your money. Yeah. But with this Web3, what I absolutely love about it is, you know, the artist can still get that. And now, instead of like, even with this 100%, you know, analogy that I'm using, even with that 100%, the artist can now get maybe 40 or 50, you know, so the artist is able to do so much more and get so much more. And it's more of like a personable connection that the artist can have, again, with their fans. And again, it's new. You and I both know that technology is taking over the world, has taken over the world. There's so much remote stuff that's going on, and, you know, jobs that are going on, and people are just moving more and more towards the internet and online. And so again, with this Web3, it creates an environment for, NFT holders, again, non-fungible tokens, NFT holders, as well as artists, and artists can be a holder as well, to really, really profit well off of this. You know, again, it's still something that I'm learning, but from what I have gathered so far and some of the stories that I've been shared about other artists and how they decided to change from, you know, the music industry and now move over here and realize that I don't even have to work nearly nowhere as hard, and I am making this type of money. So, and the love, just having the love of it, the flexibility and the freedom. And, you know, so when it was brought to my attention by Renata or Rena, she is the CEO, DJ Big Leak, or Leak, he's the COO, and Daryl Jenkins, who was my manager, when they all brought the idea to me, you know, and felt like I would fit right in with the Infanity family, you know, partner in with them well. I love their mission, their vision, and they know, I always say it's their energy. They have such great energy, and I love the energy of the entire Infanity family, the leftovers, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a few, you know. So I'm just so thankful, you know, to God that that this opportunity, you know, is, I'm not gonna say was, is there for me, you know, and I'm looking to grow with it. I'm looking to look at other avenues in it. And I'm just thankful. I'm very thankful. My expectations aren't so crazy high. You know, I'm thankful for what, you know, whatever God has in store for me. I think it's going to be a really, really fun journey.
Yeah. I mean, what about your nursing? Are you still?
Of course. Okay. Of course. Yes. That doesn't go. I will soon be a nurse practitioner. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. I know the last time you, great memory, you and I did talk. Yeah, that's still my passion as well. Music, of course, is, and nursing still is. I mean, once you have the degree, unless you break some rules and your, you know, license gets stripped from you, but I'm going to always have that. And I'm so thankful to God for that, because it's like a plan A and B, if you will. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So like I said, you know, I love music. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, we know, you know, how things can go, how they can be. However, wherever Gina lands, it's going to be fruitful for me, you know, because I'm already blessed and doing well, you know. So, yes, I'm not giving my, you know, my nursing up. No.
Yeah.
No way.
Over the past year, how since, you know, we had an interview, you know, you did your Pastor Mike. I actually interviewed Cassidy after we had, after, and Rodney.
Yep, I believe saw it that.
Enough. Okay.
So, yeah.
So both of them after that. But have you reconnected with old industry buddies, or how is that? Has it been, or have you just sort of, you know, just still stay with your new family or music family? What's been the shift over the past year?
Kind of like both. So definitely with my new family, and we're growing together, industry family. Like I said, the whole Infinity crew, they're like family, you know. We all are supporting each other, got mad love for each other, hoping to tour together and, you know, all that good stuff. Now, as far as the older, you know, folks that I was, or should I say my previous, you know, music relationships, music industry relationships, I did actually speak with Missy for quite some time, but then, you know, it kind of like, I know she's very busy. So I don't bother her. Last couple of times I did reach out. And if she has time, she'll respond. Or if she feels that she can, she will respond. So she and I did reconnect. That was a great, you know, reconnection there. We both have each other numbers. I also, DJ Cassidy, I'm sorry. He actually inboxed me on my DM, on my IG, excuse me. Maybe about a few weeks ago, invited me out to an event that he's having in North Jersey, Mother's Day weekend. So my husband and I are planning to attend that.
Wow.
So I was super awesome. I was like, how much are the tickets? And I think it's like maybe some type of pass the mic live. I was like, how much are the tickets? Yes. He was like, girl, tickets are on me. Say no more. I'm there. So my husband and I are looking forward to going to that again at North Jersey, and it is Mother's Day weekend.
Okay.
Let me see. And I think that's, I connected with Monifa kind of. We're still kind of playing phone tag a little bit. Monifa and I, Air Personality Jonesy, and she also used to be an R&B, you know, singer as well. She and I reconnected. She probably was one of the first ones that I had reconnected with shortly after Pass the Mic. She reached out to me, talked about some great ideas, which I'm hoping is still something that she's planning to do, but I won't talk about it
because
it's supposed to be like a surprise. So it was Jonesy or Miss Jones. Some people know her by Miss Jones.
Okay.
DJ Mr. C, he was my assistant A&R on Mercury Records.
Wow.
And he's a hot air personality. Him and Jonesy both are on 94.7 The Block in New York.
Okay.
So they're there. I'm trying to think who else.
What about Rodney?
No, I haven't. I have not. I do think I follow him though on IG, but I have spoken to his father. His father reached out to me a long time ago. We talked about a few things. I had even went to his house with my oldest son, and, you know, and they, you know, talked about a couple things as well.
Okay.
So trying to think who else, Nicole Ray and myself, it just was one chat that we had on IG, and that pretty much was it. And I'm sure there's more, but I can't think of them, but yeah, okay. it's, it's all good. Everyone, all is good vibes, you know, all good.
I mean,
I'm a lucky person.
Because when I look at someone like Nicole Ray, I mean, she had, I think, Hot Boys, but she didn't have as many. I mean, she probably had one or two singles, but she seems to be, yeah, I think she signed a label deal, but she then does has still releases albums and does like wineries and places like that. Mm-hmm. And so that I can start to see that, wow, you know what, actually there is a market for live music at a lot of these wineries that have been set up around time, or Yossi's and places like that. But mm-hmm. I guess it's more like, okay, am I ready to really get into this and, you know, have a band with me and be able to sing live and have a set of songs and travel and stuff. And you know, has the whole family adjusted to, oh goodness, mom's going to be out on the road and actually do this? Because it's different. It's not straightforward as I would have thought.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I plan on, as much as I can, let me start with this, plan on keeping my family around as much as I possibly can. So I know that a lot of the touring probably will be, you know, in the summertime, and my children, they're not babies. And of course, my husband's not a baby. So I plan on, as much as I can, you know, if I'm able to bring them and, you know, give them even chores and things, not chores, but things to do while they're traveling, possibly with me. And if they can't come, they can't come. But for the most part, like, my kids love music as well. My daughter does my makeup. She's 12 years old. She does my makeup. She does it all. She's a stylist. So I'm like, my diva needs to be with me. Yeah. So she's, you know, she's phenomenal. And like my son, he loves music. There's always road management things that are going on. So on that aspect, I do want to try to involve them as much as I safely can. Mm-hmm. And my husband, of course, as well. But at the same token, if there are times where they're not able to go, they know that they're going to be those times, then, you know, they won't go. And my manager's well aware that, to me, it's family first. So he's very, very receptive of that. And even in Fanity, everyone knows, you know, that Gina loves her family. First and foremost, I love the Lord, but she loves her family. So anything that pretty much transpires or comes about, you know, they're very flexible, you know, so it's all good. It really, really is. So they're excited. I'm excited, and trust in God, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you do shows now, I mean, how many songs would you pull from? Mm-hmm. Would you pull from first album, second album?
So great question. So right now, because most people do know the things you do, of course, that is, you know, the song that I will perform. It all depends on the show is kind of ultimately what I was saying, because there's a variety of shows depending on. Some people just want one song. Some people may want three songs. Some people may want five. So it does vary. And the answer to your question is yes. So what I do is the things you do. And then there's also Yada Yada that was on the things you do was on the first album. Yeah. Yada Yada was on the second album, If You Only Knew, which never came out, which I pray that something will come about that one. And then the other thing that we're considering doing is doing like remakes. You know, I did Angel by Anita Baker on my first album. Not saying I'm going to, you know, do that song, but things like that is what we're considering to do with longer, you know, shows. Now, because I do have a single that's about to come out prayerfully in May, that's going to be added to the show as well. And that single is titled Starvin'. So that'll be added as well. But right now, I really haven't done like no more than like 3-4 songs. And usually when people are torn and out there, you know, unless it's your own thing that you're doing, you know what I mean? They're doing maybe 3-4 songs or whatever, or may have a 20-minute spot on a stage. That goes by so quickly because you're interacting with the crowd. So for the most part, that's pretty much what it is, like a remake, yada yada, things you do. Like I said, Starving is going to be coming out in May. And then I'm sure you probably have heard about The Things You Do. There's another remix that Infanity actually produced. And it's The Leftovers, their group, featuring me And let me tell you, that Things You Do remix is fire. They changed the whole concept. The Leftovers, watch out for them. Let me tell you, that group is absolutely phenomenal. They do it all, sing, rap, they're a band, they do it all, and they're absolutely anointed, I call it.
Are they a gospel group, or are they just an R&B group, or what?
See, I said anointed, you thought gospel, huh?
Well, yeah, you throw out the word, and we think it Kurt Franklin and the family, and Fred Hammond,
they're just that good, and they move you. So, you know, to me, that's like, you know, people that are anointed with their voices, they just move you, and it's like, it's just chills, because the way they do their thing, you know, there's one female in the group, and then the rest are guys. And like I said, they do a variety of things, and they're just awesome. Their style is different, you know, and it's definitely real music to the ear. So I love it. I love them. They are phenomenal. So I'm super excited. Like I said, prayerfully, we can get a tour together, you know, or do some things together, because they can be the band for me as well. And then the Leftovers and myself can perform that version of the Things You Do. Like I said, the concept is so, so dope. I really, really love how they flip the concept of it. Oh. So that's what's going on with me, and, you know,
Didn't you record a single with John B?
I sure did. And again, you're going back to my album titled If You Only Knew. I think 1999, something like that. I can't even keep track, but I did.
So why don't you sing that? You know, he still have his vocals, and then you do duetting. Say, yeah, I had a song single with John B. It didn't come out. Everyone knows John B. And you're singing, and then his vocals pop out, or somebody else takes it. But
yeah, great idea. I will tell you what has been talked about or mentioned is, you know, we're getting a lot of good feedback on that album that was unreleased. Mm-hmm. So my manager, he's well aware of it as well. And even, you know, the label Infinity that I'm with now. And we've been trying to maybe think or consider, you know, maybe pulling a couple of them songs and seeing if we can try to do something else with them. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that I have gotten a great deal of response on is the duet with John B, you know, Up All Night. And oh my gosh, he wrote most of it, but I did write a little bit on there. He did three tracks on my album. And let me tell you, his style is incredible. And it was a different level with John, and I absolutely loved it. But yeah, I'm hoping that maybe somewhere in the near future, you know, that may be something that can come about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's always a shame when, these albums that, you know, and as I said, we've spoken about how the industry was during that time. They were merging and dropping people. When they're consolidating all the labels, and all of a sudden they were just like, you know, they it just caught a lot of people out like that. Then, you know, the fact is that either they were saying, look, you don't know what's on this album, and they just throw it away. Yeah. But then it's like, well, let me go. You know, I don't know who has. Do you have sort of the masters? Yes.
No. Mm-mm. No. And a lot of times with those major labels, unless you get that deal, you know, written that way, or should I say, you know, negotiated. That's the word I was looking for. Unless, you know, those type of deals are negotiated. Let me tell you, with artists that, you know, very seldom that happens where the label will let them own their masters. Very seldom that happens. So the answer to your question is, unfortunately, I do not. And again, my manager does know that I'm not trying to say that the first album wasn't meaningful to me, but the second album I had so much more control over. Mm. I wrote so much more on that, and just the compilation of the variety of artists and producers that I had on there just really, really, you know, really sealed that album, you know, tremendously. And then of course my son was on there, my oldest son at the time, you know, the song that I wrote about him, he was on there. So that's such a personable album to me. So my manager's aware, and he's like, you know, we'll see what we can do. Just taking things one day at a time, you know, one day at a time.
But then it's a very different thing. If you've written the song, so you have your writers publishing, I would assume, as the songwriter in those songs, then I would assume there's a lot more of an incentive to re-record those songs. So you don't need the masters of that because that's gone. But you know what the sound, you know what you wrote. You have got a label now that, okay, let's go in the studio, let's re-record the songs I wrote. I'll have a lot more of an ownership of them because they're still beautiful songs, and they can just get touched up. And so that's because I would assume I think that would be, and I just don't know, better than taking somebody else's song and making them more money while singing Sweet Love or something like that. When you already have stuff that you've written that unfortunately didn't get released or promoted. But so it's always a waste when you have, just, you know, you've already had something that was so good, but unfortunately just didn't get shared with the world at that time. I mean, how many songs did you write
Let me see. Man, I think it might. Oh, you caught me off with that one. Let me see. I'm pulling my brains on this one. I probably wrote, if I could give you a percentage wise, it probably was about 50-60%. So I wrote As Long As God Allows. That's one. I wrote half on Take My Number Down with Eric. No, I wrote Take My Number Down, and Eric wrote a little bit with me, Eric Roberson.
Oh, okay. Wow. Songs.
Yeah, he did Yada Ya. He actually wrote Yada Ya, the one featuring Missy Elliott. That was, I'm sorry, how did I leave Eric out? Yes, he was another phenomenal person that I, you know, have worked with. As Long As God Allows, Yada Ya, Take My Number Down, Caught Up, featuring Beanie Siegel. I wrote Caught Up. Yeah, you're picking my favorite. I wrote with John B. Now Shep Crawford and Montel Jordan tracks. They did 2.5, and I say 2.5 because it was 2 songs, and then one was like a gospel interlude or however you want to call it. So 2.5 songs, but I didn't write any of them. Okay. I wrote Don't Take Your Love Away. So yeah, I'm trying to think of all the names.
As Long As God Allows.
I wrote that. Yep, and my son was on that one. As Long As God Allows. Cool. So you have the list in front of you.
Yeah, I've got the list with me. So number one was.
Let's go down the road. Let's go down the road there.
If Only You Knew was the interlude, but Take My Number Down.
I wrote that.
Mm-hmm. Ladies Anthem.
That was Eric Roberson again.
Calling You.
Me and John B.
And a Yada Ya.
That was Eric Roberson.
You Can't Play Me.
Even though that wasn't even on the album, it was presented, but it didn't make the album, but I did write that.
Okay. Yeah. It Hurts.
That was the Montel Jordan, Shep Crawford camp.
Okay. And then Caught Up with Beanie Siegel. You said you wrote that.
I wrote that. Yes.
Cool Outs with You.
That was John B.
Turnaround
was another Shep Crawford record.
Up All Night with John B.
Okay, wait, but I'm sorry. Back up. Up All Night, John B. and myself wrote. What was the other one? I thought you had said that one.
Turnaround.
Turnaround is Shep Crawford. I think I said that. Yeah.
Cool Out with You.
That's John B.
And Don't Take Your Love Away.
That's me.
Okay.
I wrote that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's, lots of, you know, when you think about the level of Shep Crawford, I mean, if we know him with doing stuff with Tamir and with Deborah Cox, and
yes,
and then we also know about John B. and Eric Roberson didn't just win the Grammy, but I know he's still very relevant, very I mean, you know, so that's still a lot of, so that's, yeah, so you know, having as much of an input to re-record the album on your new label, re-record the album, you know, it seems that that would be less work and a lot more fun. And then does your son still rap?
He does. He's also now focused a little bit more on, not to say he's not rapping, but he went another avenue, and he's doing a clothing line now.
Okay.
So he's working on a clothing line and just trying to navigate other avenues again, you know, in the business. And I slowly but surely have been telling him about NFTs because, like I said, you know, it's not just for singers. You
Yeah.
know, there's painters out there. There's, you know, a variety of types of artists, you know. So, but yeah, so he's kind of like shifted, you know, a little bit more on that avenue. And, you know, and I'm proud of him. He's grinding. He's
Yeah.
grinding. Thank
No,
you for
but
asking about him.
well, I was gonna say he could feature on Caught Up and he'd write his own rap instead of being a seagull.
You are brainstorming. Look at you. Yeah, so definitely that also has been brought to my attention where they know that I have did a great deal of writing on that second album. And like I said, I know that, you know, we've been talking about a number of things, and there's this one producer in Atlanta that had pretty much mentioned the same to my manager. He was like, well, how about we just get other tracks and still do, you know, like take her lyrics and, you know, make other tracks. So that definitely has been mentioned and pondered on. And again, with the new deal that I do have, it's structured a certain way, you know, so certain deals are. So right now, as with anything, because yes, it is still a business, we're seeing how things, you know, are going to go and praying and hoping for the best. And I know that Amfanity, you know, would love for me to, you know, be able to do more work with them as I would as well. So after these two singles come out, you know, we'll see where things are. And then again, they know as well that Gina had a, you know, had a lot of lyrics or songs on that album. And then there was a whole nother album that people didn't
Yeah,
even know
missing
about,
you.
Missing You. Yeah. And that I never even signed with, that was Blue Mountain Records, I think it was, by Roderick. He owns the Laugh House in Philadelphia. Awesome guy, very awesome guy, and doing a lot of great things. And that was years ago that he and I had worked together, but somehow those songs, you know, had, you know, leaked on the internet. And so and that's another project that my manager's working on. But those are songs that I wrote. I wrote all those songs. I think it was
Wow.
like three of them.
Yeah. I mean it's yeah, I mean the way the industry has been, you know, in one ways, you could have written all the songs, it came out, gone double platinum, and then the story would be, well, the manager stole all the money and the labels so I left me penniless. And or it the case where, well, my album didn't come out, so I didn't have that they got me story to tell, because either way it just seems as if it's just never it's just not been easy for Black R&B artists to have a fair shot. So either like your case where you had, you know, your two main albums that you worked on never really got pushed out or promoted, and you have others who, as I said, went double platinum and they didn't see the money because it went in a different direction. And it's interesting that now you're saying that with the independence that's available, there are more avenues for artists to try and make a living out of it and have more protection over their art. And I guess it's just trying to get a generation of people to sort of understand the things a little bit different, because, you know, it's either you just go into shows hoping that people download a stream, but those two are not enough. So you have to, unless you do loads of shows and you're getting
Absolutely.
a viral song, you do need to find something that is a well balanced as well. But I guess it's, you know, it's going to take us understanding what, you know, how does the whole NFT stuff works. I mean, is it that is it like a share? You buy into it and hope that it increases in value?
It absolutely. So, basically, again, from what I've learned so far, so that some people call the purchase of them a mint, MINT. And again, on Amfanity's website, they actually break everything down for you. What is an NFT? There's even frequently asked questions. So, kind of going back to your question, it's pretty much just that. So, like, you know, if you invest in a stock or something like that, you put your money in there and you watch what it does. You know, the thing about it is, like whatever you buy into it, it's not going to drop. That's the thing that I do like. So I'm gonna give you an example. So when my me and the Leftovers It's out right now on Infinity's site. It started at like $4.99. Within a matter of 3 days, it went up to $9.99. So those who purchased it at $4.99, if they wanted to sell it to someone, they can sell it for $9.99. And that's basically how, you know, stocks pretty much work. You know, you can sell it to someone else. And so we're able to, you know, see how many are being sold. I don't know who purchased. I mean, the owners may know that, of course, but as far as me with my account, I'm able to see like how many are being sold. So we're praying, you know, that we can go ahead and, you know, sell this out. And then the higher the demand, of course, the price will go up. So again, the idea of this NFT and or collectible is it's you own that. So if you purchase that collectible of the Leftovers featuring Gina Thompson, you own that. But in addition to owning that, you have other special perks. So anything new that comes out with me, or you're like the first to know everything that's about me, and the first that can have access to any of my stuff before anyone else does, or before anybody else can get it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a number of things like there'll be like meet and greets, and people may have the option to be able to, you know, request a meet and greet before the next person may. And I even plan on getting into clothing line. So again, it's going to be one of those things. I just kind of got solidified my logo. So I do plan on, you know, eventually again in time, you know, doing things where I can, you know, sell my product. And again, it'll be like a brand. Here's another example. I was just told, not just told, but I know that there is a rap artist, and I keep saying that I'm going to refresh my memory or find out exactly who it was that I was told that, I don't know if it's a group I don't know if it was Wu-Tang, some rap artist or group, they actually had jumped into the NFT, and it was such a demand for one of their older albums. Like someone actually paid, I think, like $1 million. I know that's the story was something like that. And I'm just not sure which rap group it was.
So I know Wu-Tang had an album which they recorded and somebody bought it for $1 million and never got released. So they
the details, but the bottom line is because that's what it was worth, when that person actually was willing to pay that. Like someone that had the album probably had whatever they paid for it, and someone was willing to spend that to get that. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a lot, you know. That was a story that I was shared. But let's just say if our collectible Leftovers and myself, our collectible, let's say the price goes up to $20, like I said, you know, I purchased one, of course, to support ourselves for $4.99, but it's already, and that 3 days later was $10. So now if anybody wants it, if we sell out, of course, I can sell it for whatever it is. Now, trust me, by the time it does sell out, because I'm claiming it, the time that it does sell out, I can see the price being up there. And then, you know, you can either hold on to it just like a stock, or you can sell it. So that's what I love. It's pretty much you're like investing into, you're believing, you're investing in the Leftovers and Gina Thompson. And of course, you know, Infinity as well. And people will see that you can actually, you don't need a company to start an NFT. You really don't, but it's good to be with someone until you pretty much learn, you know, enough that you can learn. Like Infinity is just phenomenal. They're a phenomenal company. They're doing big things, and I see a lot of great things happening for them. But I have seen other artists and other people do their own NFTs, you know. Okay. So
yeah, I mean, you mentioned Monifa, and that when we had I interviewed her, she spoke about NFTs and stuff, and I'm like, man, I have no idea what she thought. She was so passionate about it. I'm thinking, wow, so there's a generation of people that are really understanding what it is and really pushing it. And it's good to be on top of these things, because you know, conventional putting money in a savings account doesn't always work, and especially where we're in a digital world where you can download an entire album without paying for it. It's like, well, how are artists and creators going to be protected if there aren't other avenues like that? But as I said, if we were to see you doing shows, are you relying on backing tracks, or do you focus on, you know, at least even if I had just a guitarist along the road with me. That's at least I want to give a different type of show. What is it that you? I mean, how does it? What's the Gina Thompson show looking like now?
So basically, it kind of goes back to the type of venue one, and the type of show that it is. Because if I'm going to do a club, let's just hypothetically say a club, I'm probably not going to have a band. It probably would be maybe a couple dancers and myself. It all depends on for the most part, the venue. Now, if you're going to do like a summit or you know, a big festival or something like that, you know, I will have a band. You know, like I said, there is access to a band. So depending on what that show is and what's expected, you know, and now if it's a concert, of course it's going to be a band. I'm not going to be on stage for 30, 40 minutes with a track. You know what I mean? But so, yeah, so I'm going to be doing both. So hopefully I answered that question okay for you.
Yeah. What about the dancers? Do you have a group of dancers that just waits, or do you just hire dancers for the show? Or?
Well, so we're in the process of looking for dancers. And we actually got a couple things put into place. So now we're just kind of going to work on putting the entire show together. And these dancers, you know, depending, will be the ones that will be traveling. Sometimes things change and you may have to change your dancers. Yeah. But for now, I would like the consistency and the continuity, you know, to have the same one. So I was introduced to a dancer at my video shoot for the Infinity remix of The Things You Do. Yeah. And then they sent me a snippet, if you will, of her and someone else. So right now, you know, we're going to start with probably two, at the most four dancers, and then we may do and a couple background singers. We'll see. Again, depending on the venue, the stage may not be enough room for two singers and two background singers. So, but it's always good to be able to have them know that they're there. So if the venue permits, or the situation permits for a full band and the whole shebang, that we have them.
As we're talking about this, I don't know if you remember when you sang The Things You Do on the BET, I think, is it Teen Summit?
Yeah.
You had your two dancers.
Yeah, with my little short haircut.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. I do remember. I think that someone had actually even tagged me on my IG page with that. I so remember. I was like, woo, them was the days. All right.
would we expect that type of performance with your dancers, and then you also being able to bend dance the same way?
So I've been asked this question before, and I'm gonna say this. You know, back in the day, you know what I'm saying? You know, we was able to drop things like they was hot. You know what I'm saying? Now you might let it down like it's warm. That's my saying, you know what I'm saying? And I think I got that from a Tyler Perry show. I can't remember, but you know, it's something. But nevertheless, when people ask me that, I tell them, you know, you're still going to get, you know, Gina. But let's just keep it real. I'm not not dropping nothing. You know, if I get down, I'm hoping I get back up.
Yeah.
No, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. I just, you know what, get on a stage and just let the music move me, you know. And again, you know, as we get older, you see a lot of these artists pretty much in my age bracket. Usually they have their dancers do that, and they may step in here and there. And of course, I'm going to do a few of those things, but I want to focus more on the singing aspect and engaging more with my crowd and things along those lines, versus trying to, you know, remember every step and, you know, all that.
That's a Mariah Carey. Because Mariah doesn't shy away that look. Yeah. She, I'm not into the dancing. I've got my dancing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Johnny Gill as well. Like, man, I have to dance, friends. You know, he stays at the end because, you know, it's Ronnie, Mickey, Ricky, and Mike that are and Ralph that are dancers, and Johnny's like, okay, and now with Bobby. So yeah, it makes sense. I guess it's and it depends on the tracks, because I know the Things You Do is a party track, and so having the dancers getting in and doing the routine and stuff, mm-hmm. and even in that even on Team Summit, you know, the girls were doing the main work while mm-hmm. you were singing, and you came in, you know, towards the when it, you know, during the breakdown, but they were still dancing throughout. But it felt as if they were. What I liked about that performance is as if they were part of the group, because they were dancing, but it looked as if they were singing along.
Singing, yes, and that's how I like it. That's exactly how I like it. Like, if even if you're lip singing, I like the whole aspect, especially when there's the two. That was a whole thing. Like, they're dancers, and both the girls could actually really sing. But they, you know, they're dancers, but they're also like my background singers, you know, so I know exactly what you're talking about. That's a really, really good look. And there are artists that do that quite a bit, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, as I said, the fact that you said you want to focus on the vocals, and that's going to be key, because the audience, when you do start moving into, say, the wineries, and I don't know if they have the jazz cafes anymore, the House of Blues, are they still around?
House of Blues, which one? Oh, that's, I'm thinking of the Laugh House. I'm sorry, don't quote me on that. I definitely know City Wineries for sure, but
yeah,
the
City
House
Rani.
Of Blues, is the House of Blues in Atlantic City?
They used to have them in, when I lived in, they had them in Chicago, but I've no, nowadays I don't hear anyone going to them. I only hear them go to City Wineries or Yoshi's, and those types of venues. But in those types of venues, having dances, but focusing on the singing, because we do see someone like Shantae Moore at City Wineries, and it's really just sitting singing, or Freddie Jackson, or even Christopher Williams, and it really, they're focusing on their vocals, and the audience doesn't seem to mind the dancing as much, but it's really the vocals. So it would be really interesting just to see, you know, seeing you back in. But I'm sure the label has things, you know, because I remember I talked about social media and stuff, and then you started to do the sort of your jogging, and then you come back and record.
Yeah. I got to get back to that. I was really on a mission at that time. It's not easy, but it definitely still, it's conquerable. You know, physical health, mental health is so important. It really, really is. But yeah, you're right. I was doing that.
I think the interesting point is the hard thing about being on your side of the aisle is the fact that, okay, out of sight, out of mind. So then social media becomes where everyone like, oh, okay, Gina's back. And what's she posting? What's she doing? And then that you know, promoters sometimes see what's going on and stuff. So it's, you know, it's a lot of, you know, I post on Instagram mainly so I can get more people to interview, so they can see, oh, he interviewed here and this person. But it's a way of just trying to show that you're still relevant, and it's a lot of work when you don't have a machine of a label behind you. You've got a label, but when you don't have a massive PR stuff, having to do all these sort of things to still show that, okay, I'm out there and we're doing music and I'm still singing and stuff. And I'm hoping and I'm wondering if are we going to see, I know you posted stuff with the photo shoot the leftovers. Yes. So you did stuff like that. And then and I did see where you performed at one or two venues as well. Are we going to see more of that, or maybe behind the scenes of Gina rehearsing with a band, singing your songs, so we can like get snippets of the songs and just.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that being said, I had, as far as the video shoot for the Infinity remix of The Things You Do with The Leftovers featuring me, there was a behind the scenes where, you know, we shot a little bit and, you know, had some fun doing that. And so the answer to your question is absolutely, that is the plan, especially once this single does actually drop. You know, of course, I'm sure that, you know, we're going to be, again, going to do go on the road and do more things. I'm telling you this, it's going to be a busy summer. I really believe it's going to be a busy summer. Like I said, right now we're just ironing some kinks out. We wanted the single is, it's on Infinity, the NFT, but I wanted, we all wanted it to be out the end of the month, for March, but there's a few things that little pitfalls that we have to, you know, kind of maneuver around, and sometimes it happens, you know. It will be out soon. That's what we do know. And as well as other platforms like your Spotify, Amazon, Apple, we're working on that as well. So just telling my fans, don't give up. We're still working on it. It's still coming. Just ironing a couple of things out right now, and it's better to be safe than sorry. So we want to make sure that we are doing things correctly, and we're catching, and it's a good thing that we caught some of the things that we caught, you know, because it could have been, you know, it could have been not the best thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you tell us about the song? I mean, who wrote it? What's the song about and stuff?
Okay, so the things you do, let me start with that, because I did mention earlier how the concept is different. So is that okay with you?
Yeah, yeah, you can do both songs. Perfect. Yeah, the things we do with Leftovers, and then your new single.
Awesome. Okay, so with the things you do, the concept was brought to me by DJ Leek. And he was like, you know, the title of the song in general, The Things You Do, is something that we can say to anybody, right? Oh, my God, it's the things that you do, or it's what you did, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't even necessarily have to mean, like in my original, The Things You Do, I'm talking about this man that I love him, and it's the things that he does that makes me keep running to him. Well, the concept for the remix, Infinity Remix, DJ Leek brought it to my attention. He was like, what do you think of a concept where there's this young guy that's always in the streets, and he's always, you know, he's selling drugs, he's doing whatever. And his mother, she never gives up on him. You know, she never, ever gives up on him. And so many times she's told him and talked to him about, if you keep doing this, this is going to end up happening. If you keep doing this, this is going to end up happening. And he's starting to see that the things that his mother has shared with him, she's right. And it's always like everything that she does and the things that she says, he seems to come back to her and, you know, gets this advice from her. And he just keeps coming back to her, and she never turns her back on him. She's always there. She loves him. Even when he was in jail, she loved him. She just never gave up on him. So he's like, you know what, Mom, it's the things that you do that makes me keep coming to you. And I appreciate you for not giving up on me. I love you, you know, boom, boom, boom. And that's kind of like the concept. So I thought about it for a minute, and I was like, you know what? That's dope, because a lot of that is happening or has happened. So this is like a mother anthem, an anthem for mothers, if you will, you know. So Mom, it's the things that you do. And, you know, when he was out in these streets, you know, she never gave up on him. You know, she kept on believing in him and praying for him, just not giving up. And so because of that continuous love, you know, eventually he's just like, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna change this around and get myself together. So it was phenomenal. And the video shoot was so fun. Kids were able, two of my kids, I was hoping for my oldest son. He wasn't able to make it, but my two younger kids are in the video. Okay. So that was so fun. Such a great experience for them. So, yep. So that's the concept of that song. And that video's done. Again, the single's done. That's what's going to be coming out, you know, or is out on Infinity's site, okay. The collectible, that is. Now, as far as...
That concept reminds me of The Whiners, Don't Leave Me.
You said The Whinings?
The Whiners. Okay. They had a song on the Return album called Don't Leave Me. It was produced by Teddy Riley. But it was about... You know, the songs don't, you know, it was about all the things that they were told by their parents, don't touch the stove, it's hot, or you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
But they didn't scold them. And I can just hear Marvin singing as you were saying that. All I remember was Don't Leave Me and stuff. And it was a powerful track. So it is, it'll be really interesting to see and hear the full track to see how people might connect to that. But anyway, yeah,
absolutely. And in more ways than one. It doesn't even have to be the person was out there in the streets. It could be a young girl, whatever, you know, she went out and was rebellious. And then she just decided to, you know, come back because her mom was telling her this. It can go in so many ways. But the idea is, you know, the mother just never gave up and just was always there. Supported and just prayed and just never gave up, and that meant so much to him, you know. So I mean, like I said, that concept can go, you know, in a few ways.
Yeah,
Now, as far as the other single, it's called Starving. We're working on, eventually we'll be shooting a video for that. Right now we're trying to pick our the male act in the video. So okay. The latest
Is Denzel not available?
No, nor is Idris Elba.
Okay.
So I know that I got the last that I heard that they were auditioning for that part. So I'm sure I'll be hearing more, you know, in time. But that song, Starving, I'm so sorry, I can't remember everybody's name that was on there, but it was a compilation. It was a few people, rather, that actually wrote on this album. DJ Leak brought it to my attention. It was right on Valentine's Day at that. He was like, Happy Valentine's Day. I was like, oh, goodness. So when I heard it, I was like, yes, I loved it. I thought it was different. And I actually like the fact that it's relevant to today, like the sound of it. So this title, Starving, and it's simply still a love song, you know, I'm starving for your love, but just the way that it's worded and the melodic feel of it, and it's different, but it's still in the pocket. So at first I was a little intimidated. I was like, wait, I don't know, because it's a little bit different, but it was a little challenging for me, but it was a good push. And all I can say is I went in there. I learned it on the way up to the studio. On the way up to the studio. So what happened was when I got there, I told Leek, I said, I pretty much just learned the song. Okay. So anyway, I recorded it, and in that day, like within like 5 hours, and they loved it. You know, artists, we're usually our worst critic. I was like, okay, you guys love it, you know. But for the most part, they loved it. It's been mastered. So right now, like I said, we're pretty much just waiting to shoot the video. And prayerfully, like I said earlier, that's due to be released around May, beginning of June, somewhere around there. Hopefully. But again, we are know that it's coming out. We're just trying to solidify dates.
Okay. So yeah. Just as we wrap up, are you expecting to get back into writing? Or are you expecting to get people bringing in songs already written up and you sing? How do you expect the next 12 months to be when it comes to creating music?
To be honest with you, we do have a strategy that, you know, that we use that works when it comes to publishing. Basically the idea is for me to write on everything that I sing on. I don't have to write the entire song, but I always want a piece of publishing, you know. So that's our you know, our strategy. And as long as the writers that are coming in, they're okay with that, then we're good. But for the most part, a song that I sing on, I'm going to be having publishing. Now hear me out, because now if Missy was to say, Gene, I got a song for you or something, or you know what I'm saying, or Babyface, and yes. I'm not trying to say, let me make sure I say this, you know, with all due respect, I'm not trying to say only big name artists are good songwriters. I'm just saying, like, it's proven they're hit makers, you know. And again, at the end of the day, it definitely is a business. So I'm still trying to, you know, do my thing as well as other, you know, unknown writers are trying to do it. So when I say that, I didn't mean it on, like, I'm saying there's nobody else out there that can write hits besides stars, because that's definitely not true. So, but the concept, or like I said, our strategy, our whole thing is to work, you know, work it to where whatever she puts her vocals on, she's getting some publishing.
Yeah, no, I mean, Michael Jackson, when R. Kelly wrote, You Are Not Alone, he wrote the whole thing, so he couldn't, you know, and Michael just co-produced it, but anything else he did, anyone else brought a track, he would have publishing and write on it. And Mariah Carey was the same. I think Beyonce is the same. It's like, it's not as if they're saying, oh, you've written a whole song, I'm just going to put my name on it so I can get some more stuff out of it. It's like, oh, we need to change things around so I can say, have some ownership in the song, and I feel it's mine, and not and really have been invested in it and stuff. But I understand that if Missy has a track that she's brought out or Timbaland and stuff, it's understandable that, okay, you know, their names alone tend to sell.
Sell
songs. I mean, Missy's just featured on a track with a new group called Flow.
I've heard, which
the group will get more exposure because Missy is on it as opposed to not being on it, and so that makes a massive difference and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, are you gearing towards releasing just a few singles each month, each quarter? Mm-hmm. Or build up to an EP, or is it what should we expect over the next 12 months?
Yep. So thank you for asking that question. So as I kind of mentioned a little bit, a little while ago, I think more so in the beginning, right now, we're going to see how these singles do. The idea is to ultimately, prayerfully, you know, as I always say that, put out an entire album. But for the most part, my plans is to keep music coming for my fans as much as I possibly can, you know, and that's where we're at, where there's talk about me, you know, maybe doing a couple of other things. I don't even know if I should even be saying that, yes, but let's put it like this. We're working on for me to be more visible, if I could say that. Yeah. So, trusting in God, letting him lead this path. I just want my fans to know that I'm definitely here. And we are taking it one day at a time. And I know it's only right to ask that questions because what has happened in the past, there may be some fans that be like, I hope she's here to stay this time. Well, as long as the good Lord keeps me around, I plan on staying too.
So,
I don't know when I'm being called home, but for the most part, it's a good energy right now, and it's a good feel. There are some exciting things, you know, in the making. And so I plan on sticking around for quite some time. I really do.
Well, you know, once stuff is out and mm-hmm. as mentioned, visuals, because there's a generation of people that just use YouTube to listen to music, while mm-hmm. there's another generation that does the Spotify's and other places. So it's almost like you have to cater for everything. So once it's out, you know, I'll actually time the release of this to when these things are out, so that it then helps to generate the buzz. To support that and definitely can't wait to bring you back. You know, once things that later on to let us know what's next and maybe premiere the video of Starving once that's out as well.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I sincerely want you to know I appreciate your support so very much. It doesn't go unnoticed, and I'm so thankful. So please know that if there's ever any other time that you would like for me to come back on, you know, just let my team know. You know, definitely would be more than. It's an honor actually to be, you know, a part of your show. So thank you so very much, and even my fans, I owe them a great, you know, deal of thanks. You know, we need our fans, you know, so come check me out. I do have my IG again. It's The Real Gina Thompson. I see it's growing, and I'm so thankful for that. And then I'm also on Twitter. I just recently got a Twitter account in February. So it's The Gina Thompson. Please come follow me on Twitter. We're working on me doing like monthly speaking sessions. So where you call in and we can have Twitter talk. So please, you know, come follow me on there. And I will be actually having a YouTube channel eventually as well. But right now, you know, my biggest focus right now is the IG and the Twitter. And check me out on Spotify as well. I will be having my music put up on there too.
Yeah, it's a landmine, I think. So someone like Missy is heavily on Twitter, but IG is almost surpassing. And so you have other people who are heavily on IG and very real on Twitter. I think IG is good when you are, even if you're going live like you did back in the day when you were like, okay, I'm about to do some exercise, and you went live, and it was good because it got people to see what's happening. I would always say that you know, if the a few songs singing here and there does help the does help grow an audience. It's like, oh, okay, she's singing some songs and doing some live stuff. Those type of things that does always helps. But I'm, you know, sure your team are working around that. But it's almost now we have to create our own energy and own buzz. Mastering the social media stuff is great. But when your video is ready, if I know, then it will be, and it's going to be on YouTube, then, you know, we can just do a quick live interview, so that just to let people know, okay, let's watch the live video of starving and stuff like that. So that would be something to look forward to when it comes out.
Awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so very much. And go, like I said, go on Fanity's website and check them out. Learn a little bit more about NFTs. I think it's a great thing for everybody. If you're one that, you know, you're interested in, you know, being a part of, you know, our family and seeing what's new and, you know, before anybody else, please, you know, by all means, go on the website and, you know, check us out.
Definitely will do. But you know, it's great seeing you. It's great seeing the change and the fact that you're really back invested in this. And so yeah, can't wait to see the success and how things blow up this time.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Shout out to everyone.
Yes. Okay. Well, what you might be, don't be surprised if you don't see me posting your performance on Teen Summit just later this evening, just as a reminder, because I love the performance and the energy in that. And so just to remind people of that was Gina, but don't wait and get ready to see Gina with her dancers coming soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You take care, and you could keep doing your thing. You're doing a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Take care. Good night.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for being part of the Halftime Chat community. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. But most importantly, why don't you consider being a member as a way of supporting the channel, but also getting a lot of videos ahead of time, a lot of behind the scenes stuff, and some exclusive content that doesn't get shared. But anyway, thanks for watching and thanks for being part of Halftime Chat. I begin to...